speaks a lot about how one should perform his work and how one should offer the fruits of one's work to Krishna. Why these two things are so elaborately spoken in Bhagavad Gita? If you understand the connection of these two things to our spiritual life, we would make a very great advancement in our chanting of the holy name. This is actually called as the art of work in Bhagavad Gita. The art of work is, while doing one's duty, how should one do those duties? And after having done one's duty, how should one offer the fruits to Krishna? This is actually the central theme of art of work in Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna speaks many verses, the essence of which is this. He says, while doing your duties, you should be balanced in your emotions. You should not become carried away by greed, due to which people do corruption. You should not get carried away by lust, due to which one breaks the social norms, isn't it? Similarly, one should not get carried away by anger, disproportionate anger. In this way, Krishna tells about many wrong ways of doing work also, which should be given up. What is the relevance of this to a devotee's lives? In our devotional service, oftentimes we may not play the fair game that Krishna wants us to play. Just like you're playing cricket or you're playing chess, you know, there are some rules to be followed. You cannot play the way you want. In the same manner, Krishna wants us to lead our devotional lives in a certain way. Just now we recited the 10 offenses. So, making an endeavor to avoid these 10 offenses is what is called as a fair game. But if one is committing these offenses and still thinks oneself to be all right, then he's playing a very unfair game. So what is the result of playing unfair game? You will see, the result is one will not be able to fix one's intelligence in hearing the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Because when our only focus is Krishna's pleasure, it is very much possible for one to completely absorb one's consciousness in chanting of the holy name. For example, Narada is cursing Nalakor Manigrave, but his curse is a compassionate curse, due to which they were delivered from being Kamalarjuna trees and they got the mercy of Krishna, you see. He did not curse out of some self-aggrandizement as Durvasamani did for Ambarish Maharaj. Isn't it? He didn't do like that. So even a curse could be spelled out of love, you see. Similarly, your daughter-in-law is serving the mother-in-law, father-in-law, who may be very old, 80 or 90 years old. But why should she, such a young girl, you know, be so much worried about some old people who are, you know, whose bodies are shaking and who are passing stool and urine in the bedpan? Why should she serve them? The only motive is to please the husband. Is it not true? So you will find always when the goal is to please Krishna, then everything else is centered around it. It is possible for one's mind to be completely preoccupied in endeavoring to chant the holy names with attention and absorption if the goal is only to please Krishna. But if the goal is something else, then the mind is going to be preoccupied with those thoughts, because we put ourselves in a controllership mode. Whereas if our goal is only to please Krishna, we will see that our mind is simply thinking about how I can utter every syllable of this holy name with great attention and absorption, because that's what Krishna wants me to do right now. He doesn't want me to do anything else. So Karna is being killed by Arjuna. Think about it. Did Arjuna kill Karna to enjoy the Kshatriya zeal? So that, you know, he thought, now is a good time, let me hit Karna and finish him off. He never think like that. He never thought like that. Krishna ordered him, I want you to hit Karna now. So Arjuna killed him. Actually, although Arjuna was a very great Kshatriya, he never delighted in fighting just for the sake of fighting. In fact, in the beginning of Mahabharata war, you see Arjuna is refusing to fight, despite having the talent to fight. Isn't it? He is not delighting in his own talent, but he is delighting in pleasing Krishna. Because his goal is to only please Krishna and curb his own passions to fight. That's what makes his duty sacred. Similarly, we may be very skilled and talented in many material activities. But if we do those activities just to enjoy our own talents without reference to Krishna, then our mind becomes preoccupied with worries about those activities. Whereas if we, despite those talents and skills, we are not interested in using them for our own pleasure. But if Krishna or Guru would order us to use them, we might use them. Then our mind will be preoccupied with attentively hearing the holy name. It's a very simple concept, very easy to understand. This is actually the essence of duty that is taught in Bhagavad Gita. You see, that means, you know, do your duties only for Krishna's pleasure and not for personal delight. This is actually the essence of what I am speaking. So, and also I told you that one should play a fair game while doing duty. For example, in the name of doing our duties in Vaishnava life, we may offend other devotees. Then we are out of the game. You see? Just like in football match, you must have seen somebody, you know, they may put their feet between others' feet and, you know, what do you call it? Yeah, they call it red card. They show red card. Because somebody may pull the leg of another person while playing football. He's out of the game. You see? So in the same manner, while performing our duty, one has to keep one's passion subdued and perform one's devotional duties in the way that Krishna wants us to perform. Ultimately, you should give pleasure to Krishna and devotees and Guru and all these people. That is actually the fair game in Vaishnava life. But we find, while performing devotion service, we put aside Guru's desires, we put aside Krishna's desires, and our personal passions come to surface. Then one's designations and posts and positions, when that comes into one's head, then one's performance of Vaishnava duties becomes mixed with those lower natures. And due to which, and once it's to chant the holy name, one's mind becomes preoccupied with worries about one's own duties. And one is not able to call out Krishna's name because one thinks Krishna doesn't understand my situation. Actually, Krishna probably may not be able to control the way that I can control more expertly than him. You know? So we go into controllership mode. Due to which, the Prabhupada once said, "Don't chant nonsense," he said. "Chant Krishna's names." What is the meaning of this chanting nonsense, worrying about other things of the world? That is, as soon as you sit to chant, take the beads, and immediately, what about this today, what about that tomorrow, what about the next week thing? So you find from morning to evening, from Monday to Sunday, from January to December, the mind is preoccupied with millions of thoughts. You find, I will do this, I will do that, I will do like this only, I will do like that only, I could have done like this. So the worry of the past is, you know, if only things would have happened like that, how nice this would have happened. Or what if in future, if such a thing may happen like this, my Lord, what will happen? Worry of the future and fear of the future and worry of the past. This keeps us preoccupied while chanting the holy name. This is called as chanting nonsense. Prabhupada said, don't chant nonsense. Yes. Chant Krishna's names, Prabhupada is saying. So, this is the essence of art of work in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna teaches these two things. Don't get illusioned by the lower natures of the material world, namely lust, greed and anger, Krishna is saying, while performing your duties. Perform your duties following the laws that I have given. Work according to those laws, then your mind will be peaceful. That's one thing. Another thing, work only for my pleasure, Krishna is teaching. Don't work for satisfying your own passions and illusions. Don't work for them, because in lower modes like Rajoguna, Tamoguna, even Sattoguna also, we have our tendencies. Don't do your duties to satisfy your tendencies, but do your duties to satisfy me, Krishna is saying. Because if you do work to satisfy your own tendencies without reference to me, your mind is going to be preoccupied with delighting in success and lamenting about the things which don't go your way. Then you will see that your mind will be preoccupied with those thoughts constantly in a plan-making mode. And you will not be able to think of me. But if you do work for my pleasure, you'll be able to think of me. And I only spoke one part of it. The other side is giving up our duty, giving up our fruits for Krishna's pleasure. Isn't it? Just like Arjuna was given the empowerment to fight the battle of Kurukshetra. He was the number one hero to win the whole battle of Kurukshetra, isn't it? And then later on, you find when Arjuna was disempowered, when he was returning once to Hastinapur, isn't it? So Arjuna could understand, now the power is on, supplied by MSCV. Now there is a power shutdown, isn't it? Krishna gave the power and Krishna took away the power. So at that time, he could think of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and remember Krishna and be satisfied, you see? He was again satisfied and cheerful because the fruits should always be offered to Krishna. Actually, these are very, very deep and very important concepts in spiritual life. If one doesn't understand these concepts and apply them, then one's spiritual life will be very, very superficial. It will be very, very external. Externally, everybody will be doing their devotional service. But if these concepts are not deeply understood and thought about and practiced in spiritual life, we cannot focus our attention on the holy name. We'll be simply, that's why he says that verse, what is that verse? Bahujanma Karyadi Shavana Kirtan Tavitana Paiva Krishna Premadan. Even if millions of lifetimes you are chanting the holy names, still you will not get Krishna Prema, he says. Very frightening verse to hear. But it is said actually. This is a verse. Even if you chant millions of... Similar thing our Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Namakshara Bahuhaya Namanahihaya, he says. And you have chanted the holy name 16 rounds for 2 hours, but Nam has not been uttered by your tongue, he is saying. What is the meaning of that? That means, you know, you are chanting nonsense, he is saying. That's what Prabhupada says. Don't chant nonsense. Chant Krishna's name, he says. And you may say, what? Am I chanting nonsense? I am saying Hare Krishna, how I am chanting nonsense? Oh, you are chanting nonsense, he says. When? When you are preoccupying your mind with worries and fears of the past and future. Because we are not endeavoring to do it for Krishna's pleasure. This is the proof. What is the proof that I am working for Guru's and Krishna's pleasure or not? When I am sitting to chant the holy name, peacefully I can call Krishna's name again and again and endeavor to pay my attention on the holy name. And that is the work actually we have to do when we are chanting. What is the chanting? What is the work we have to do? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Let me, oh Krishna, let me hear your holy name. Let me learn to love you, let me learn to serve you, let me try to please you. I am very fallen, I am very insignificant. And millions of lifetimes I have forgotten you and turned away from you. Let me just focus on your names. I don't want to do anything else. I don't want material success. I don't want spiritual success. I don't want anything. I simply want to please you, that's all. I don't want to become a great devotee. I don't want to show off to the world how great I am. I don't want to impress anyone. I have no other goal. I simply want to love you, serve you, please you, and please my Guru and Vaishnavas, that's all. And what will give you pleasure? If I pay attention to the holy name. So my mind is so devil. It is all the time running here and there, all around the world. And I have no ability to control my mind on my own. So you please help me to tie my mind to your lotus feet, just like a horse tied to a pole. So this is the only prayer of a devotee. And such absorption in chanting of the holy name will please Guru and Krishna and swiftly will make advancement, like Bhishma Pitamaha at the time of his death could withdraw all his thoughts and fix it on Krishna and not worry about Kauravas or Pandavas, not worry about the future of the political situation of the Hastinapur, you know. He could withdraw from it completely and just pay attention. Itimati Rupakalpita Vitrishna. Vitrishna means he gave up all his Trishna hankerings and just fixed his mind on Krishna who was standing in front of him at the time of passing away. So our chanting should be done with this right attitude, and we should be endeavoring in this direction if we really want to grow in spiritual life. Because attention in chanting of the holy name is a vital aspect in elevating our consciousness. Why do we quarrel with devotees? Why do we try to push our opinions on others? Main reason is this only. Because if the chanting of the holy name is not done with full attention and absorption, we cannot be satisfied, we cannot be cheerful. Not possible. But if we focus attention on the holy name, the whole world will go far away. Only we will be at the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna. Because all other priorities, they go to the background. And the first priority becomes, how I can please Krishna. Harinam Prabhu ki. Let's offer our humble obeisances unto all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, who are just like desert trees, the ocean of mercy, the ocean of compassion, the fallen from the ship's source.